our Lord and Saviour.
Amen. Well, we're working our way through the good news about Jesus according to St Mark. And today I've read the whole of chapter 10. So you may wonder why some parts are missed out. The part that's not there is the bit about divorce and the bit about baptism, but I've included that in my talk. Because this chapter 10 is about our relationships with one another and with God. A popular hobby nowadays is looking at relations, going back through the generations in the study of genealogy. I've done very little about my family name of Lazel and the other name, Mingay, but other people in the family have. I had the experience of being found by someone I never knew existed. She wrote to me saying that my grandfather and her grandmother were brother and sister and asked if she could visit. It was a delight to meet her and her husband and hear of her children and grandchildren. It was an amazing discovery. My family grew. God's plan for us then is to be born into family and family relationships. Life is designed for two parents to unite and a child to be born into a secure and loving home. The beginning of the chapter reminds us that family relationships sometimes break down and measures have to be put in place to deal with the fallout. However, for those of us who have had no such experience, it is salutary to remember that if family life through the generations were represented by a dartboard, no family would hit the bullseye of perfection. We all have problems. The rest of the chapter is about new relationships, which begin as we approach God through Jesus Christ. Baptism marks the beginning of that life. Jesus is present by his Spirit, and the minister is used to symbolize Jesus taking the children into his arms. Parents and godparents bring the children to Jesus, as the women did in the passage. Like the unknown member of my family, God is there all the time. But action is needed to form a link. My second cousin wrote a letter. We bring our children to church, and we were brought to church for our baptism. So baptism is like being found by God, as I was found by my second cousin. And it is marked with celebration and joy by the new family. That's us, those who are already baptized, the church. The church, like our family, stretches through time and has members, most personally unknown to us, throughout the world, who we can read about or visit. It can be a real treat. It can be a real treat to worship with others when on holiday and experience other ways of being church, as I think we know Anthony will be doing later on this month. Baptism also opens the door to a wonderful spiritual world where God, who is love, can be sought and found, known personally and worshipped. My mother told me the date and time of my christening, as it was known then. Every year I can now remember God taking me as a child into the arm of Jesus when I was 6 weeks old and give thanks for his amazing love, which is gradually being revealed to me. I didn't realize at the time, but day by day I see more of his love. This passage also tells us how to grow in that relationship with God. Jesus teaches about our attitude as we grow up in the kingdom of God where he reigns. He says, to enter into his kingdom, we need the attitude of a child. Let's just think about those attitudes of a child in a perfect relationship, unspoilt by natural failings and disappointments. We, as children of God in the kingdom of Jesus, have a place of eternal security in a person we can trust, who will never let us down. In that place, as we live out our faith, we have a sense of awe at the greatness of our Saviour, a desire to explore life in the Spirit, an eagerness to learn, and a willingness to return love with loving obedience. That is how we enter that door opened to us by baptism, as we use the means to learn given to us by God. This means church, prayer, and the Bible. Children grow up, and so we come to the next stage of development, the story of our young man. He was well instructed in the best behavior, following the Ten Commandments of God. He came from a rich family and had a successful life laid out before him. But he looked for more and went in search of Jesus. This meant, like us, he would have to ask others where Jesus might be, set aside his worldly occupation for a while, and take to the road, walking till he found him. He must have been full of expectations, eager to find fulfillment in all that he did. We too, as we grow up, start asking questions about the meaning of life. Perhaps, like him, we have the important question he had, which was the question about eternal life. He would like to have assurance that his life in God will continue after his death. And to find it, he came to Jesus. He actually got down on his knees to beg Jesus, like I do when I want to pray urgently. He seemed to really mean to find an answer. Here for him was the opportunity of a new relationship, not based on family and his Jewish upbringings, following the Ten Commandments, but with Jesus Christ, the long-expected Messiah, a personal relationship with Jesus. This equates to our moment, or moments of turning to God in faith. And for some, this marks the time of deciding on confirmation, when we make a full personal commitment to Christ. For others, the moment of decision may be to follow a life of service. But let's just take those words about this encounter into our hearts and make them ours. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That is how Jesus looks at each of us as we seek to respond to the message of the good news about him. In that look, Jesus sees right into the centre of our being and what motivates us. Looking at this particular young man, he saw ambition for wealth, luxury and status, and this needed to be given up. Listen to the next words. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That was the calling of Jesus to that particular young man at that particular time. It was the same as the calling he gave to Peter, Andrew, James and John when they left all to follow him. However, this young man turned down the offer and went away sorrowful. His heart was full of the cares and riches of the world, and there was no room at that time in his life for God's seed to sprout and grow. As Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Yet, and here is the mercy and generosity of God, Jesus still offers salvation. We might say that young man had had it when he went away sorrowful. It is true he chose the lower path in life, and one of the doors into the kingdom had been shut to him. But Jesus lovingly continues to seek us, despite our wrong choices. He says, with man, this, meaning salvation, is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus always gives us freedom to walk away, for that is the way of love, and God is pure love. But what are the people who make that commitment to follow Jesus? Peter speaks up for them when he says, "We have left all to follow him." We Christians find there are things to give up, either because we want to, or because we can see they are incompatible with following Jesus. Perhaps our changes are not as radical as Peter's, who left business and family to follow Jesus. But like the young man who needed to be free from putting money first, there will be something holding us back. Those of us who are reaching the maturity of our discipleship can look back at the cost. We may have ended a bad relationship, or others given us a cold shoulder because we chose to follow Jesus. We may have missed opportunity in job or marriage because of our integrity in obeying God. We may have missed out on luxuries and worldly joys because we joined Jesus in sharing our gifts to make a difference to others. Although we may still struggle day by day to follow Jesus and live kingdom life as he did, we know deep down we are filled with joy because we live and walk with Jesus. In his kingdom, we have abundance of new situations, new opportunities, and new relationships. As he promised, Jesus truly gives us abundant life. And so by day, he invites us to come, see, and to follow him. And so perhaps during the week, or even now for a few moments, we can reflect on the milestones in our lives that we've reached. Baptism, confirmation, and all those moments of giving our lives to Jesus and responding to his call. And thank God for every one of them. And ask to see his love in the way he's led us through life. There's one thing which unites us and keeps us from comparing ourselves with others, is that we are all equally on the way. It's the way of life that Jesus offers. It's a very special way because it is in fact Jesus himself. He says to each of us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Walking on the way, which is Jesus himself, gives us a tiny, tiny experience of the eternal life the young man sought. We encourage and support one another as we walk that way, whoever we may be. But it's God who gives grace to keep going, to reach our destiny in God's kingdom, our destiny of eternal life in him forever. Praise be to his holy name. Amen.